The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes, this is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
It's crazy because a lot of people talk about interest rates and things of that nature. I tell people that it's not really the rate. It's if you're trying to generate cash flow, if you can generate your return, I don't think the rate really matters. What are your thoughts on that?
Every market has its own challenges and nuances. When rates were lower, prices were inflated and people were complaining that you're overpaying for a home because there's so many buyers, money is so cheap and drives up the price, which looking at like economic cycles, that is traditionally what happens when there's more money available for cheaper in the economy, in the world or in the country. It's easier for people to buy more things, people spend more money and prices go up. So it's the same thinking with real estate. So it just kind of depends what challenge you want to face. Do you want to overpay but pay less in interest, or do you want to pay fair market value, pay more in interest? And it's also relative because it's completely subjective. And I think your goal is the biggest factor, meaning if your goal is to own real estate, putting it off for a better rate doesn't get you any closer to a positive outcome because no one can see the future. And if you get a mortgage with a 10-year timeline or a 30-year timeline, once you get it, once those 10 years or 30 years pass, assuming you make your payments, you own it. Yeah. So if you can see that as your goal, assuming that is your goal, then the rate becomes a little less relevant, assuming you can cash flow or cover the mortgage at whatever number it's at.
That makes sense. So at the end of the 10 years, will the debt be satisfied, or is there like a balloon payment at the end? How does that part work?
Great question. There's no balloon payment. Okay. At the end of the 10 years, the debt is entirely satisfied. I have the option to refinance at any point if I want to replace my loan, but I'm really thinking that the way that I look at my strategy right now, the sooner I can pay off my properties, the better. And having a shorter loan timeline allows me to get closer to cash flowing more so. So that's how I'm looking at it right now. It's my goal.
Love that. So it sounds like at a high level, folks can start on Zillow or like whatever their website of choice is and look in the notes for sale by owner or seller finance, something like that. And then of course, like work with an attorney, make sure all the paperwork and the terms are, it just really depends like what you agree to with the seller and go from there.
Yeah, I'd say having great advisors, if you're using a real estate agent or if you're in an attorney closing state or if you're using an attorney to review the paperwork, depending on whatever the circumstances and wherever you're looking, and your comfort in reviewing these kind of documents, my background being in real estate and having some experience with specialty finance in my career allowed me to, I think, take this on more comfortably. Not everyone has the same experience, but I wouldn't want anyone to shy away from it for that reason, because there's a great opportunities to find a good deal and make it come together in a kind of out of the box way, but still cover your bases and protect yourself. So yeah, to your point, like having your ear to the ground, always looking, always researching, looking for opportunities to invest or buy properties, because most of the times the right opportunities don't just come to you when you're expecting it. They kind of come, you know, when they just do. So yeah, keeping your eyes open and finding the right advisors to help you make it happen.
Awesome. Did the seller have an agent representing them?
He did.
How does a seller's agent get compensated in this kind of scenario? Because I don't think we've really covered
too much with people doing like creative finance where there's agents involved. I've heard a lot, and we've had people, you know, go direct to seller and kind of work it out between them. But I think it's interesting that an agent was involved.
There was an agent involved, and the agent was compensated pretty standardly. They had a listing agreement. I think the commission rate was 5% total split on both sides.
Gotcha.
But I actually let the seller's agent, the listing agent, represent me.
Okay.
So I negotiated a referral fee because I'm an agent. So I was able to get a referral fee from the listing agent for referring myself to them as a client. And that reduced some of my transaction costs and allowed them to represent both sides and maximize their commission.
Oh, we got to break that down. I haven't heard that before. So you...
The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
You're an agent, of course, and you referred yourself to an agent who represented both sides. Walk through that. I'm kind of blown away by that.
Yeah. So basically, and I've done this a couple times in different circumstances. This circumstance specifically was unique because I was the buyer. So I came to the listing agent and I told them I was interested in buying the property. And I asked them if they'd be willing to submit an offer for me as a buyer. Now, not all states allow dual representation. This particular situation, it was allowed. Their broker either approved it or it's already allowed in Oklahoma, something along those lines. And so they were willing to submit the offer for me, and I asked for a referral fee. And in most cases, referral fees can only be paid broker to broker, meaning their broker pays my broker and then it trickles down to me as an agent. If I wasn't a licensed agent, I wouldn't be entitled to a referral fee. But because I was, it was really just a negotiation thing. I was like, hey, I'm an agent and I'm allowing you to represent me instead of going to another agent. So can I get X amount? I think it was like, I think I asked for like $2,500 as a referral fee, and we did it as a credit. So that's how it ended up working out. It was a credit against my closing costs and down payment.
That's some game right there for the agents out there.
Yeah, seriously.
I love that. What was the purchase price of the property?
It was $200,000.
Dope. It's a single family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Dope. So what's the exit strategy? Is it a long-term rental at this point? Like what are your plans for it?
I really think that I'm a buy and hold investor. Mm-hmm. I love the appreciation component of real estate and the fact that the value increases. I think that a big challenge that specifically Black Americans have faced in this country is not being able to have ownership and leverage equity for their financial stability. So knowing that I have assets that have value that I can leverage later in life, since we don't know what's going to happen, and you know, maybe I need to take out some money for really any number of things that I could want or desire in the future, I like the idea of having that option and having the cash flow. So I'm a buy and hold investor for the most part. I want to keep it until it's free and clear, and then I'm cash flowing every month, and then I can leverage it in whichever way to add to my portfolio, support my dreams, my goals, my life, whatever that looks like.
Definitely. I love that. Do you need to do any like rehab or anything to that property, or is it kind of turnkey?
It was completely turnkey. I got tenants in there pretty immediately, within like 3 weeks. So it was ready to go.
Love it. And you're self-managing, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
As we spoke before, like I invest out of state too. We're kind of like pretty much at the same stage in many cases. But I want to talk more about the self-management piece, because what I think is it's not that difficult. There are some points where you have to do stuff, but if you pick a good person, it's really not that difficult the majority of the time. Mm-hmm. I want to hear your perspective mm-hmm. and also why you decided to self-manage, because we're here in LA mm-hmm. and you're investing in Tulsa and also in Texas, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. But what's your take on it?
So it's hard to find people to trust with your assets. It can be. There's great people out there, but when you're out of state, you feel, I think, a little bit more distant and detached from what's actually going on. And I wanted to have the initial control and oversight. That way, longer term, even if I do transition this to somebody else or to a third party, I had an understanding of how my property worked, what the general needs were, who I use, vendor relationships. Building relationships is super value in all things. In every aspect of your life, your network and your relationships really take you far. So especially when it comes to having out-of-state properties, I wanted to be able to establish that network for myself of the plumbers and the electricians and the gardeners and the folks that I could build relationships with, give business to, and hopefully long-term make that easier even for a third-party management company who comes in, and also make it easier for me to understand how things work and what to expect cost-wise.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.